It's pretty funky. It's great. So I guess somebody's gonna break my heart soon. Listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM Tufts Radio. My name's Charlie Driver. This is Pop and Circumstance. We're going to start this off with some Bob Dylan. This is Joker Man.
There I was in uniform, looking at the art teacher. I was just a girl there. Never have I loved since then. He was not that much older than I was. He had taken a class to the Metropolitan Museum. He asked us what our favorite work of art was. Never could I tell him it was him. Oh, I wish I could tell him. Oh, I wish I could have told him. I looked at the Rubens and Rembrandts. He told me he liked Turner. Never have I turned since then. No, never have I turned to any other man.
Thank you. There's a reason that you're here. Don't stop. You ain't got nothing to fear, so don't stop. This train has left the station. Who knows what destination? This love is for the taking. Don't stop. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop believing. 'Cause you know the day and dance the night away. So with all you've got, don't stop. So with all you've got, don't stop.
Was John Batiste there from his new album Hollywood Africans that dropped the other day on Friday. Very good album. Before that, we had Rufus Wainwright with Art Teacher off Want To, and we opened that three-song set with Bob Dylan's song Joker Man from Infidels. How do you feel about Bob Dylan, Danny?
I'm a fan.
Nice. Are you on mic 4? Was that on?
Hello?
Oh, no, we're good. Yeah. Yeah. Why are you a fan?
I just think anyone who's earned a Nobel Prize really just stands out to me, especially in literature. That one's my favorite one, and every year they reward that prize, and I'm really proud of every one who wins it, especially
year's awards. You've read everyone who's ever read who's ever written a Nobel Literature Prize winning book, right?
Absolutely not. I'm illiterate. That's why I enjoy Bob Dylan so much, because even for the illiterate such as myself, he means something.
Yeah, no one ever hits that angle enough in the press about Bob Dylan winning the Nobel Prize, which is something we reported on this show 2 years ago.
Did we know? We did.
We were having our Bob Dylan day.
We did indeed.
It was the Bob Dylan morning.
I was
also
illiterate then.
Oh, I'm sorry that that's not really coming along for you.
Some things never change.
Yeah, very unfortunate. Anything up in your life? This is producer Danny here with Charlie Driver on Pop and Circumstance.
Hello, hello. I made a steak this morning and I dreamt about Harry Potter.
All right, tell me more. What about it?
I don't believe that it's a child appropriate.
Oh. Okay. Let's get into some more music. Danny, how many songs on average that you listen to are Mace Windu themed?
3, maybe 4.
Well, here's one coming at you right now. This is from Ezra Collective.
Robert Glasper. Hey, man, it's your boy Wayne Brady. Hey, I'm still trying to get on the record, brother. Hey, so I'm thinking, either I'll sing something, you know, like I'll sing something like Erykah Badu did on the last one, be like, see that fly, boy, see that play, that boy. Key change. Okay, no? Or I gave you some gangster shit. Check it, the freestyle. Folks don't know about Wayne Brady. Born and raised right on Crenshaw. Big 6 foot tall chocolate dude.
Jamila Woods with Heaven off the album of the same name. Before that, we had the Robert Glasper Experiment with Let It Ride. That's featuring Nora Jones on vocals from Black Radio 2. And then we opened that with Mace Windu Rhythm by Ezra Collective, one of my favorite bands from South London jazz scene. Yeah. So getting a little jazzy, bringing in a little hip-hop there. You know, all the stuff you expect.
All the stuff you
on
expect.
On Thursday morning at 7:31 a.m.
Even Tuesday mornings.
Tuesday morning, correct. I guess I'm hung up on my old slot. Very unfortunate.
He just didn't have the hours to keep it.
Yeah. I don't know. You go away for a semester, people move on.
Well, Charlie...
Changes come around.
The big question that I've always had about this show and about our beautiful listener base is what do they come out more for, the terribly eclectic music or the just generally terrible banter?
We've not been overly eclectic so far today,
but in the course of this year's
show, that's true,
we've gone from Watergate County albums to Mace Windu Rhythm.
It's Mace Windu Rhythm is great,
quite
though
a range.
It's also very satisfying to say rhythm, yeah, the double D's.
Ching.
Okay, you have a PSA for us, Danny?
Yeah, here's one right from down south. Numbers to think about: worldwide prison populations. I now realize
I've never heard this one before.
Have you not?
No, I've heard this many times.
Oh, well, then we're gonna pick a different one.
Okay.
Okay. Numbers to think about: U.S. healthcare. Some healthcare numbers to think about. 1% of the U.S. population accounts for 22%. 22%, Charlie. Of total healthcare spending, in the top 5% accounts for 50%. Analyzed from a slightly different perspective, if Americans are divided into two groups, they're never divided into two groups, the healthier half uses just 3% of all medical care dollars, while the less healthy half accounts for 90% of all U.S. healthcare dollars. It's quite a discrepancy.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah. All right, we're done thinking. Let's go back to the music.
Well, yeah, we're going to listen to some jazz right now. This is a quality jazz trio that you probably haven't heard before, Danny.
Probably not.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Thank you.
H. John Benjamin. That was two tracks from his album, Well, I Should Have Learned to Play Piano. The first song we played was I Can't Play Piano, Part 1. Second song we played was I Can't Play Piano, Part 2. And through both of those, H. John Benjamin proves to us, the listening audience, that he cannot play piano.
I mean, I cannot play piano to a greater degree than he can.
Yeah, no, he's better at not being able to play the piano.
Correct.
Than I am.
But does that mean that his playing of the piano is worse sounding than your also bad playing of the piano?
No, I think what it is he's worse at not playing the piano.
I see. Or
I think that's how you would say it.
We'll have to write to him. Are you friends with him on Twitter?
No. All right. Should we keep going? We've got some more comedic stylings coming up.
We do indeed.
Yeah, this one's a good old classic vinyl Weird Al. This one is called Stuck in a Closet with Vanna White.
It's a lovely song.
Tell me what this means.
Danny, if you were stuck in a closet with Vanna White, would you buy a vowel?
What do you mean?
Would you buy a vowel? Because Vanna White does.
Oh, sure. Meal. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Which vowel?
Drew Carey. It's a really big vowel.
It has some consonants thrown in just for good luck. Okay, we're gonna hit our now recurring segment, which is Charlie and Danny listen to vinyl recordings of Watergate and pre-Watergate comedy.
I am not a crook.
We're not listening to David Fry this week.
Oh, sad.
Do you want to introduce what we're gonna be listening to?
Yes, today we're listening to the original Flying Saucers, Watergate Superfly meets Shaft Convention 72, Part 1 and 2, On Trial, The Touchables. The Touchables in Brooklyn, Flying Saucer the Second, Santa and the Satellite Part 1 and 2, and Ben Crazy. It's a comedy album, and it's...
I think it's rockabilly 56. Themed.
We're about to find out.
It's unclear. We're just kind of...
We're going to go with it.
Play a lot of it.
We'll see how it goes. Until they say something that we can't play on the radio or...
Which could be very fast. Yeah, we're going to give this a try. Coming at you right now. If I turn the record player on.
Remains to be seen.
There we go.
And now for the news, we take you to the White House. Mr. President, have you any statement regarding Watergate?
Mama Koo, Mama Sai, Mama Kuma Kusa.
How would you describe... Mr. President, what were you doing at the time the incident took place?
Black and white, scoody, old and black and white.
And how do you feel about it now?
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Mr. President, what will your position be from now on?
No more, Mr. Nice.
This is 1973. What will you be saying at election time in 1976?
It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me?
Still want me?
Just arriving is the First Lady. How would you describe the President?
He's a free and gentle flower growing wild.
With me now is John Snitchell. And Mr. Snitchell, who do you believe was responsible for Watergate? In a phone call, Mrs. Snitchell had this to say.
He's the funkiest worm in the world.
Here with me is John Bean. Sir, how do you think the president will wind up at the end of all this?
Reeling in the years, stowing away the time.
Mr. President, what do you feel you have going in your favor?
I knew Jesus before he was a superstar.
Have you any final message for the American people?
You are the sunshine of my life.
This record is not over. The Vice President has just arrived. Sir, can you tell us who will be the next President of the United States?
Me.
Interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. Superfly is missing.
Good God!
We now take you to our on-the-spot reporter.
I have several witnesses here with me. Sir, when was the last time you saw Superfly?
It was the 3rd of September.
And you, sir, can you describe the suit Superfly was wearing?
Red, yellow, black, white, and brown.
And you, sir, who was the last person Superfly was seen with?
Mrs. Jones.
If we need you for any further information, can we call you?
Whenever you call me, I'll be there.
We take you now to Washington.
We're here at the White House. The president has an important announcement regarding Superfly. Mr. President, what seems to be the problem?
I got ants in my pants and I need to dance.
Just arriving at the White House. Is the man that will risk his neck for brother man. Chair, now that the president has called you into the case, What will you be doing?
Chasing women and drinking.
Mr. President, what is your opinion of Shaft?
This cat Shaft is a bad.
Shut your mouth. I see the President and Shaft have gone into the White House.
What they do?
Mr. President, what are you and Shaft doing in there?
Holding hands, making all kinds of plans.
Mr. President, why are you holding hands with Shaft? Just been handed a bulletin. Superfly was last seen. We take you back to our on-the-spot reporter.
I'm here with Freddy, who we believe knows the whereabouts of Superfly. Excuse me, Freddy.
Ah!
Wait a minute, what happened?
It is dead.
Freddy's dead?
That's what I said.
Oh, well, I have several other witnesses. Do you know where Superfly is?
We know, they know, and you know and I know.
I don't know. How do you know?
Your best friend wrote and told me.
And just who is my best friend?
Superfly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Walter Klondike from Convention Hall, Miami Beach, bringing you the first get-together convention of Republicans and Democrats alike. We have Henry Kissinger and Vice President Agnew standing by on the right side of Convention Hall. Come in, David Stinkley.
Thank you, Walter. Mr. Kissinger, amid this historic moment, with all the pomp and grandeur of the political system of America all around you, tell us, sir, what are your innermost thoughts at this very moment?
Gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman.
Vice President Agnew, what are your thoughts, sir?
Right on. Right on.
Mr. Agnew, when you heard the rumors that President Nixon might not select you as his running mate again, what did you say to him?
Never should have promised him. Give it here. Don't hold back now. Give it here. Don't say nothing. Just give it here. Come on.
Mr. Agnew, if you were in Senator McGovern's place, who would you have chosen as a running mate?
Bertha.
Bertha who?
Bertha Butt.
Who's she, sir?
One of the Butt sisters.
Do you agree, Mr. Kissinger?
Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman.
Thank you, Henry Kissinger and Vice President Agnew. Back to you, Walter.
Thank you, David. Now, Sidney Bruntley is over on the left side. He has Sergeant Shriver with him.
Sergeant Shriver, what did you say to Senator McGovern when he finally asked you to be his running mate?
You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand.
How did you finalize your agreement with Senator McGovern?
Sealed with a kiss.
Oh, shades of excitement. One final question, sir. What kind of offer did Senator McGovern make you?
He made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Sidney, forgive me, but our roving reporter, Larry Reasoning, has Martha Mitchell on the microphone. Take it away, Larry Reasoning.
Mrs. Mitchell, would you like to talk to our listeners?
I'll suck it to you, daddy.
Now that your husband has resigned from politics, how do you feel, ma'am?
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Mrs. Mitchell, your complaint was that your husband didn't have any time to spend with you. Now that you are alone, ma'am, what do you talk about? Well, I can understand that, Mrs. Mitchell. Now back to you, Walter.
Sidney Bruntley is on the left side of the floor with Mr. and Mrs. Eagleton and Senator McGovern. Take it away, Sidney.
Thank you, Walter. Senator McGovern, how did you feel when you and Senator Eagleton first separated, sir?
Alone again, naturally.
Oh, yes. What did you do then?
Coach Dr. Wolfman.
And what did your physician advise?
Put the lime in the coconut and call me in the morning.
Everyone was turning you down, sir. If Sergeant Shriver had also refused, who would you have turned to then?
A horse with no name.
Oh, I love horses. Now, Senator Eagleton, how does one feel in the morning when his world has been shattered, sir?
Well, you wake up in the morning and your hands are shaking and your nerves are all uptight.
Well then, Senator, why didn't you resign immediately?
Am I wrong for trying to hold on to the best thing I ever had?
Yes, and what are your feelings now towards the people who opposed you?
They smiled in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
one final question to you, Senator Eagleton. What did you say to the newspaper columnist when you met him face to face? Senator McGovern, what are your feelings on that, sir?
How can a loser ever win?
Mrs. Eagleton, would you like to answer him?
Who do you think you are, Mr. Fixed Up?
Who do you think will vote for Senator McGovern now that your husband is out?
GMC, Trans and B.
Ma'am, do you think you could have done more for your husband during those trying times? Thank you very much. Now back to you, Walter.
There's a commotion on the left side of the floor. We've got Senator Kennedy standing with Jane Ronda. Take it away, David Stinkley. Senator Kennedy, people are talking about your political future because of your good looks, your smile, and the sound of your voice. Why?
And the magnificent.
If you decide to run for president in 76, who will be your campaign manager?
The Candyman.
Miss Ronda, just one question, please. What do you think of President Nixon?
And we'll never know what Miss Ronda thinks of President Nixon, because that's all the time we have for Watergate Superfly Shaft Convention 72. Which
all of our Watergate albums, we have no idea.
I think this is perhaps my least favorite of it started the Watergate
strong,
albums we've heard,
but quickly degraded, or did it degrade?
There's just not a lot of substance in there, because it's just other songs. Like last week when we did Lyndon Johnson's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which you can listen to on wmfo.org, that was recut from their actual words, so that was sort of more interesting in that way.
Yeah, this one was just a lot of strange interludes of music.
Yeah. Yes, but so it goes. Apologies
so
for yawning. We're going to keep on tracking actually till 8:15, because there's no one after us, and we can. But in the meantime, we're just going to play some actual music right now. This is a cover of the Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes.
He came from some